Hi, this is Jean Bruce Scott.
And Randy Reinholz.
And when we're not busily producing some of the most outstanding Native American theater in Los Angeles,
we always like to check out the best of British audio adventures with Alex Lefchuk and his team of the Midweek Drive.
And Midweek Drive morning editions on Siren FM.
And Southside Broadcasting. Podbean.com.
We continue with our Midweek Drive specials, courtesy of Zoom, and we welcome back three fabulous folk, one of whom is actually based in Melbourne and is actually still in lockdown. That person, of course, is the fantastic Natasha Armstrong. How are you, Natasha?
I'm all right, thank you. Just sort of tired of doing laps of my flat and singing Hamilton to myself, but otherwise I'm good.
Now, this is something we spoke, I think, literally the day after you went into lockdown, or literally it was on that day or thereabouts. That was a couple of weeks ago. Any sign of improvement, progress, or is it just a case of no? You're in Australia. You are you Brits need to sort of just abide by Australian rules.
Yeah, it's actually, it seems to have escalated a little bit. So we have mandatory masks now as of midnight on Wednesday. So they're giving out $200 fines to anyone outside without a mask on. We've got a higher number of case numbers was today. We got 559 and 10 deaths. So that doesn't seem like big figures, I'm sure, compared to...
But to those 559 people, it's pretty significant, Natasha. Just a minor point,
yeah.
But you know, if you're going to pop your clocks, you at least need to know about it. It might be a bit of an impactful thing. We'll talk about that more later. But the other person we could also recommend that brings brightness and happiness and sunshine personified throughout the world from Cleethorpes is Chloe Jones. Chloe Jameson.
Chloe Jones.
Rose.
I like that.
I'm conflating.
Maybe that's a new stage name, Alex. New stage note.
How are you, Chloe?
I'm very well, thank you. It's a lovely day outside as well. I am inside currently, but looking out the window, it is smashing outside.
It's the only Midweek Drive out so far has actually been doing Zooms from outside, as indeed our official vet, Zoe Jameson, in which case we've also been joined by her cockerel and indeed her pony, Gizmo. But then again, that's a different line entirely. We'll move on to that. Somebody that you described, Chloe, as having absolutely wonderful teeth. I thought that's a bit personal, but what the heck? It can only be Tessa Snart. How are you, Tessa?
Hello, really well, thank you. Hello, everyone.
Are the teeth okay, are they?
All good, yes, thank
Excellent.
You.
Excellent. Very, very important.
Oh, dear.
Now, were you the same year as Natasha? Did you graduate? Because, I mean, sometimes you kind of... No, maybe you were the year... No, you were... I don't know. Anyway, you're both graduates of the University of Lincoln.
No, but I kind of... It felt like I was with Natasha and, of course, Claire and Emma and Mary.
Wow.
But, yeah, the year below.
All interconnected. Does Natasha's experience in Melbourne appeal to yourself? Do you actually secretly wish, oh, it's time Britain went back into lockdown as well?
In lockdown long enough, I don't think we should rush into things over here, because of course then we will be in the same position. I've heard about Melbourne because I have a great auntie that lives there. She lives in Victoria, so I'm very much updated on the Australia front, and my boyfriend, he has a sister in Sydney and some family over there, so I very much know what you're going through. Natasha,
bless you. Whereabouts in Melbourne does she live?
Victoria.
Okay.
Whereabouts are you?
I'm in the north of the city.
Okay.
Right by the hospitals, so it's all good.
There we go, you're set. Just in case. Let's hope not, though. Let's hope you don't need the hospital.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that, Tessa, because it is fairly important and critical to that side of things. Now, we're waiting possibly to be joined by our good friend, Graham Harper. Who knows? He's normally very punctual for these things, so maybe something has actually cropped up. But I'll actually start with an article which literally just went live a few moments ago. And in case you're wondering, what does he mean a few moments ago? I'm listening to this on a podcast. It's actually early Sunday morning. In 2016, we didn't know. We were innocent. We still believed social media connected us and that connections were good, that technology equaled progress and progress equaled better. 4 years on, we know too much, and yet it turns out we understand nothing. We know social media is a bin fire, that the world is burning, but it's like the pandemic. We understand in outline how bad things could get, but we remain hopelessly human, relentlessly optimistic. Of course, we'll believe there'll be a vaccine, because there has to be, doesn't there? In Facebook's case, the worst has already happened. We've just failed to acknowledge it, failed to reckon with it, and there's no vaccine coming to the rescue. In 2016, everything changed. As for 2020, well, we will see. The words of Carol Cadwallader in the Observer newspaper this morning, online, etc. She basically goes on to really address her huge concerns that Cambridge Analytica are back, that they're working for the President of the United States, they've just changed their name, that they're using the same old rhetoric that was used before, that Dominic Cummings has actually proudly said how he's using exactly the same thing. Now, Chloe, are you worried about this sort of Instagram, Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg taking over the world through poisonous rumours, fake news and so on? Is it just a case of never in Cleethorpes?
It is worrying. It is very worrying. But I think it's a case of, if you see the news stories or anything that seems a bit dodgy, just try and, you know, limit when you're using social media, I guess. I think if things like that turn up.
Okay. I mean, our official line is to acknowledge that Facebook and America are now indivisible, that the world is a sicker place because of Cambridge Analytica, and we are already through the looking glass. In 2016, a hostile foreign government and Facebook was used to systematically undermine and subvert an American election with no consequences. Nobody, no company, no individual or nation state has ever been held to account. Mark Zuckerberg says Black Lives Matter, and yet Donald Trump used Facebook's tools to deliberately suppress and deny Black and Latino people the vote with no consequence.
That's really bad. I mean, if that's terrible, if that's true.
Well, there's the word, if that's true. Extraordinary. Can we trust the writer of the Observer newspaper, lead writer for The Guardian and so on? Natasha, I know you feel very strongly about this whole thing. It is a Sunday morning, so I thought we should have a little serious topic from that point of view. What are your views on the lines I've been sharing with you so far?
It's really interesting you brought that up, because only a couple of days ago, I don't know how recent the video came out, but Sacha Baron Cohen did a large press conference speech actually addressing social media and the dangers of social media, and how maybe more Zuckerberg should be held account to the things that are going on, and how it's more corporate sort of finances rather than sort of and a lack of will more than anything than the capacity to do it, which is maybe something.
Well, again, going on, because it gets better or worse depending on your point of view. She writes, if it wasn't for Facebook, there would be no Brexit. The future of our country, our island nation, with its 1,000 years of continuous history, of which we're so proud, has been set on its course by a foreign company, Facebook, that has proved itself to be beyond the rule of Parliament. Who in Britain understands that? Almost no one. The Intelligence and Security Committee, perhaps, who reported their astonishment this week that no attempt had been made to investigate foreign interference in the EU referendum. And maybe Dominic Cummings, the man who, of course, sits in number 10 Downing Street. Tessa, I mean, you are a regular user of the Instagrams, the Facebooks. I mean, you were already sort of sharing posts and liking posts, etc., and all that's like for that. Does this concern you at all, that you've got this monolithic company that is not accountable to anybody in any way, shape or form, it would seem, and yet, you know, platform is systematically abused by the Leave campaigns, loopholes in laws being deliberately exploited and so on? Are these issues that you're concerned about as a case of, no, I'm a journalism graduate, I'm used to writing fake news? Sorry, only kidding.
No, yeah, of course, it's very worrying, and it's incorrect. And of course, a lot of people are fooled by it on social media. But I think what we've got to remember is it's not the platform, it's not Facebook, it's not Instagram, it's not Twitter. It's the people behind the platforms that are feeding and putting on this information. We can't really blame social media, but of course, it has been invented as a platform to share certain things. But I think, you know, it can be used negatively and it can be used positively, and there's a fine line, and we have got to be really, really careful. And you've got to remember, there's professional people using these platforms, and then there's just normal everyday people that are using it for family photos, things like that. And I think the two can get very you know, the lines can cross, and that's where it's dangerous, because those that aren't trained within it don't know how to dodge those things. And I've even been caught up in it. I put my hands up now. You know, I try to source the information first if I see an article and I like and comment, but I try not to get too involved, because I think it can just cause more chaos.
The world is sick, according to Miss Cadwallader, because American capitalism has been the vector that has brought this infection across the globe. Algorithmically amplified free speech with no consequences. Lies spread at speed, hate freely expressed, freely shared, ethnic hatred, white supremacy, resurgent Nazism, all spreading invisibly by stealth beyond the naked eye. And she then goes on to conclude by saying that the chief data scientist of Cambridge Analytica, Matt Oshkovsky, has launched a new firm, Data Propria, I should say, which is working within the digital sector of Trump's 2016 campaign, and the director, Brad Pasquale. Trump is testing his limits, and so on and so forth. So I'm always dangerous of this polarity where you actually see the good guys and the bad guys, because as you just said, Tessa, you know, in many ways, this is a tool. We're using a tool now. We're using this tool to communicate and put together a program which is going out and as part of the sort of sequence for Siren Radio and so on. But is it something where you tend to think, I don't know, I'm okay, but it's those nasty people over there that cause problems? I mean, Chloe, do you think this is a virus that's just as bad, the information virus, as the pandemic that we're having with coronavirus?
I do, because I think as well, you know, if you think about the what's happening with the virus at the moment, you're seeing articles and you're seeing, you know, how people are like changing the information, you know, spreading, like frightening everybody. Sometimes it's good, you know, because obviously you need to understand it's a dangerous thing, but obviously you're seeing how people are using the information to, you know, plug the virus. So I do think it's as much as a problem, really, because it's how that information's used, isn't it? And dreadful.
In Melbourne, Australia, are people concerned about fake news? I mean, is it a case of, no, we believe everything that every politician in Australia ever says because it's got to be truthful? What's the vibe there, Tash?
I think at the minute, sort of in Victoria, we're sort of sick of social media because as I spoke to you when this just kicked off, everything was fine and people were sort of happy as we had the discussion. But now there's sort of been a backlash from the rest of Australia, more aimed at Victoria, a sort of people.
You are unclean, Natasha. You are unclean. You should stay there forever.
Disgusting. We must never leave. Must never breathe fresh air. No. But no, there's been a lot of sort of hate being spread around on social media directed at Victoria. And so there has been some clashing going on Twitter, on Facebook, on various platforms. So it is kind of, I suppose, a hot topic at the minute. Of course, politicians aren't sort of focusing on that at the moment. Some of them have been trying to de-escalate it by deliberately not going down the blame game and, you know, playing that sort of thing to try and stop that spreading around. But yeah, it is definitely a hot topic here that people are taking seriously.
Now, Tessa, if we can turn to yourself, I mean, clearly, you know, good things that have emerged out of lockdown, a whole brand new series of programmes for yourself with Country in the Kitchen. What's not to like about that? Hashtag surprise. And all sorts of other great things from that point of view. But do you get a sort of sense from what we're hearing in Britain? I mean, today, of course, Spain looks as though it's going to be put into isolation once again. If you actually take your holiday in Spain, you come back, you're going to go straight into quarantine. Do you think it's an overreaction? Do you think actually the country would be far better if it was run by Nicola Sturgeon? Or do you think, you know, it's fairly... I thought I'd just throw that in there as a possibility. What are your kind of thoughts from that haven in Lincolnshire that you exist in?
Well, as I said earlier, I don't think we should be rushing into anything. I mean, I'm certainly not going to be getting on a plane for a while. I know there's the tourism side of things and economy and countries, you know, like us, the UK, are suffering. But yeah, I'm not going to be jumping on a plane and going over to Spain anytime soon. I'd rather start off by travelling in the UK. As I say, I should be going to Wales in a few weeks' time. We've got the go-ahead. It's near Snowdonia, so, you know, there's fields, there's lakes, it's quite open, we can social distance if we need to. We don't necessarily need to go to a cafe or a restaurant, we can eat in the accommodation we're staying in. So we're taking precautions. So I think it's starting from home rather than, I mean, I've not rushed out to a pub, I've not, and I won't, because I don't think it's fully gone. But then on the other hand, you can't be too cautious because we have got to get on with life and things have got to start going back to normal at some stage. I just think it's about taking tiny steps.
Chloe, yesterday on Two Special, Sound and Chloe's Visions, we were obviously speaking to magician David Fox. We were trying to speak to Jonathan Lindsley. We finally got there in the end. I don't know what was happening. And obviously Taryn Kay. But you, as we sort of alluded to, you had quite a trying lockdown, which I don't think Natasha will be aware of. But just share what you decided to do just to actually test the health service to the extreme in lockdown. You decided to actually go down with appendicitis. Is that right?
Yeah, I did. I was worried at first because I thought, I don't feel very well. And at first I was thinking it was COVID. Luckily it wasn't. Well, we hope it wasn't. But yeah, I had appendicitis and I thought, oh dear. But you just never know what's going to happen. But, you know, it's tested us. It's made us stronger. So if anything like that happens, just go to the hospital, you know. And luckily, you know, people that live near the hospital, that's always a good thing as well. I mean, mine's just 10 minutes away, so that's not
you see,
so bad.
I mean, that's what I appreciate about you, Chloe. You see, it shows that kind of wonderful British stiff upper lip. You know, you've got appendicitis and it's not a case of, oh, it's, oh dear, never mind. It's just
never
progress
mind.
On
what's going to happen next year? You know, there's always something next, you know. Yeah. There's always a drama, but you've got to, it's how you approach it, I guess. There's never a dull day. You've just got to think, it happened to me, you know, somebody else is always worse off. Can you help someone else? Just keep everyone positive, you know, we get by, Alex.
Okay, let's move back to Natasha then. The lockdown procedures in Melbourne, I think, were very, some might say, draconian, very severe. Are you still not allowed out of your flat?
We are now allowed, we're allowed out to get essentials, and we are allowed out for exercise. But exercise means they want to see you kind of running. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit of a run, forest, run kind of moment, rather than a sort of walking. Mm. I mean, if you have an animal with you, the adoption kind of centres are completely empty here. Everyone seems to be adopting dogs and sort of taking them out for walks. So I'm just hoping that we don't see numbers skyrocket when this whole thing calms down again, because I think that.
So you're allowed to actually walk the dog, but if you're basically without a dog, you have to run. Is that right?
Well, it's what the local, you know, security forces are kind of seeing. Are you actually just kind of taking the Michael with this, or are you actually trying to exercise and get some fresh air? I mean, so, if you're going down the road to see your friend Mike because you want to have a bit of a gossip and a catch up, you know, it's not really an essential for your well-being. I mean, it might be, but
I was just thinking for a moment, Natasha, with your linguistic skills, etc., it will be popping down to put a shrimp on the barbie. Wouldn't that be up to the case? You know?
I've not quite been corrupted that far yet. I do have a very good friend of mine from Tasmania, so she's been trying to corrupt me with the local Tassie slang, but it's not stuck yet. I've been giving it some Maccas instead of Mackies, but we haven't quite got the other ways yet.
Yeah. Again, it may be because I haven't actually studied my Tasmanian devil history in terms of whirling dervishes, etc. But giving it some Mackies, could you just expand on that? Because I'm not sure what I mean.
Just when you're going out for fast food, should we go to Macca's?
So actually, we've almost come full circle. If it's not Facebook, it's fast food. I mean, it's terrible. It's almost as though we're on an anti-American rant here. We're not. We like America. It's just some of the sort of areas are a little bit questionable. Tessa, let's open any of the interviewing skills up to your good self. Who do you want to have a few words with? Chloe in Cleethorpes? Fantastic. Or Natasha in Melbourne?
Well, of course, both girls, I could ask a lot of questions. But Chloe, we do get a chance to catch up a little bit more. So, yeah. Natasha, how are you getting on in Australia? And actually, because fill me in, why are you over there? What are you doing? Because I know you was in Japan for a long time, way, way back before this. So you've travelled a lot.
You couldn't stand Britain any longer.
I know, since university and since leaving. I mean, yeah, you've come a long way. So what are you doing over there in Australia?
So I am actually, I'm meant to be attending a university course that's now obviously all gone online because of the whole COVID situation. That started in February. I've just been on winter break actually, and I'm about to start back tomorrow. I've got lectures and I'm getting up at 7:30 for lectures, which is going to be a bit of a struggle after the lions of the holiday. And I'm out here obviously with my partner, and, he's obviously not working at the moment because of the whole COVID situation. And I'm teaching online on sort of weekends. I'm teaching kids in Singapore. My degree is also teaching early childhood. So yeah, just sort of pottering around.
Do you think that, I know you can't really go anywhere at the moment with lockdown, but do you think you'll stay in Australia for a few years, or do you think you do? Do you think it'll be kind of like a permanent base?
It's hard describing the city. Japan was great, and I loved living in Japan, but there were some things that I sort of missed about being back in England. And then when I went back to England, I did get a bit of a culture shock, actually. It was quite weird because I'd lived away for over a year. And then sort of coming here, it sort of combined the two sides. So everything I loved about Japan and sort of a lot of things I love about England have sort of come together, and it feels like home, which is more than it didn't necessarily feel homely when I was back in England. It felt weird, do you know what I mean? Whereas now in Melbourne, it sort of feels a bit more like home. So we'd love to stay, but we're just obviously taking it as it comes with the whole global situation and course and work and finances and economics and whether they'll deport us. Who knows?
No. Australia was actually founded by people who were deported primarily from Britain to Australia. That's the current routine, to obviously the unfortunate activities of the indigenous natives at the time, who clearly didn't know what was happening. But what the heck? That's still by the by. There's no truth in the rumour then, Tash, that you actually moved to Australia and, of course, Japan earlier, simply to try and get as far away from the Midwick Drive as possible. And we're still reaching out to you.
No, of course not.
Next stop, the moon.
I could miss me too much.
Okay. No matter where you are in the world now, we've got Zoom.
Yes,
exactly. No, it's brilliant.
Chloe, anything you'd like to add? Have you ever headed off to Australia, Chloe, as yet? Is it an area you to visit?
Yeah, I've never been. I would absolutely love to go. That's one of the places I wanted to go to. And especially like Natasha had said about Japan as well. That's another place I'd really like to see. Just, I'm interested in seeing like different cultures and how people live. And yeah, great place that you live in.
There you are, Tasha. You can now be in charge of actually arranging Chloe's gig itinerary when COVID is actually solved and sorted. So you can actually get her from Sydney into Melbourne and so on, really.
I'm not sure how much help I'll be with Sydney. I've never been to Sydney, but I'll give it my best. I can Google map it. It'll be fine.
Yes.
All we need. Folks, I think we've kind of covered everything from the hyper serious topic of presidential elections, misuse of Facebook, right the way through to Tessa's fantastic teeth. Sorry, Chloe, it was just a line. I thought, do we go down that line for the whole piece? You know, I mean, doesn't look as though Graham's going to join us, but, you know, we'll just work on that basis. So, Tessa, would you like to ask the team those two closing questions that we use for these particular phone links and such like, or Zoomers? She's muted herself, you see. Tessa's gone on to lip reading because she actually muted herself. This queen of social media. I've been waiting for, you know, every Wednesday when we've been sorting things through, she's been up the whole thing. Oh, Richard Fitzwilliams, he always mute. Unmute yourself. Anyway, off you go, Tessa.
Natasha and Chloe, have you enjoyed your Zoomaphonic link with us today?
Yes, it's been brilliant.
Good.
Yes, it's been wonderful to speak to you guys.
Brilliant. And Natasha, you're looking so well. That Australian sun is doing you some good, I think.
Yeah, she's indoors, Tessa. It's a lockdown.
She can open the windows, but, you know.
I've got a balcony. It's fine.
Oh, there we go. Perfect. And will you be joining Alex again on another Zoomer soon, do you think?
Yeah, I would love to come back and speak to you again and speak to Chloe. You're an absolute ray of sunshine, Chloe. It's been lovely speaking to you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it'd be great.
That is indeed. I mean, the budget of the show obviously originally bills to actually fly Natasha back to Britain, Chloe from Cleethorpes, of course, Tessa from Lincolnshire, etc. But we've obviously had to offset that really in terms of the cost of this particular side of things. Just out of interest, Natasha, what is the time that you've got at present in Melbourne? What is the time for yourself?
It's 24 minutes past 8 in the evening.
There you go, 24 minutes. So really, you've had your Sunday. Was it a good Sunday? Can Tessa, Chloe and ourselves look forward to a really good Sunday as the hours proceed?
I hope so. If you are teaching lots of lovely six-year-olds, then yeah, you're in for a great day.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Anyway, Tessa Armstrong, many thanks. Tessa, well, what about yourself? The latest edition of Country in the Kitchen, of course, dropped yesterday with Biddy Runnell, I believe.
Runnell, yes, and soon to come Lisa Redford as well. There's another episode coming out on Friday. Mm-hmm. So yeah, she's really lovely. She's from Norfolk, so not too far from us. Shall I take our usual Zoomer snapshot?
Go on, Tessa. I know you do this so well. You see, when I actually do it, I do a screenshot of somebody who happens to be sort of on camera at that particular time, but you managed to actually work out so all four of us can actually be collectively put together. Whether this forms the basis of a calendar, I've yet to decide, but off you go, Tessa. Do the Zoomer snapshot.
Is everyone ready?
Ready.
Okay, right. Here we go. There you go.
We even had the click of delightful things to actually say, a click it actually worked. Tess, I've also got to ask you the question. We know we've heard the music of Chloe Rose on sound in Country in the Kitchen. Will you be featuring her in the near future as well? I mean, is she invited on that?
Yes, no, we definitely need to. Probably near towards the end of August.
I think so. Yes. In between time, Sound and Chloe's Vision, the companion to Sound and Country Vision, and indeed Sound and Nick's Vision, and so on, continues. Chloe, thanks to your good self. As Tasha said, it's like a little ray of sunshine. Just leave through the whole sort of sequence, which is great. Almost perfect, apart from the fact she supports Liverpool. But never mind, that's okay. We can cope with that. Tessa Snarch, Natasha Armstrong, Chloe Rose, huge thanks indeed. Keep on keeping on.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye, everyone. Thanks.